You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Everyone, this is Susan Dene, and welcome to the Know You're Crazy talk show, where we are talking about emotional recovery in the raw, something I'm very passionate about. And as you know, if you've been listening to my show, I like to focus in on the four key areas of life. You've got your health, you've got your career, you've got your financial, and you have relationships. Often when I bring a guest onto my show, I always ask myself, which of these four key areas is this going to bring it? Which of these four key areas is this guest going to really bring a heightened perspective, a little bit of education, something to come in and help you live a higher emotional, elevated life? When I thought about those four key areas with today's guest, I honed in on relationships. Yes, we all have relationships. And 99.9% of the time, and maybe most of you out there listening to this right now, you are thinking physical, materialistic world relationships. Me too. That's the majority of my day. However, there's this other thing in relationships. And the guest today is an expert in this area. And the relationships I'm talking about are the relationships that the individuals who have been dear to your heart, friends, acquaintances, and they've transitioned to the other side. What is the other side? It's the side that we don't see. And sometimes we get a little hit. We get a little knowing that they're in the room, they're present with us. Well, the reason why I'm excited about today's guest is because this is what he does. Mark Anthony is a psychic explorer, also known as the psychic lawyer. He is a fourth generation psychic medium who communicates with spirits. He is an Oxford educated attorney licensed to practice law in Florida, Washington, D.C., and before the United States Supreme Court. This psychic explorer travels to mystical locations in remote corners of the world to examine ancient mysteries and supernatural phenomena. Mark appears nationwide on TV and radio, including CBS TV's The Doctors and Gaia TV's Beyond Belief with George Norrie. He is the co-host of The Psychic and the Doc on the Transformation Network. Now, he is a featured speaker at conferences, expos, and universities, which include Brown, Columbia, Harvard, and Yale. Mark Anthony is a columnist for Best Holistic Life magazine. His latest bestseller, The Afterlife Frequency, was up for a Pulitzer and ranked by prettyprogressive.com as one of the top books about faith in God. He also was honored with a recent award from the Cover Gold Award for the book. His other best-selling books are Never Letting Go and Evidence of Eternity. So please welcome today's guest, Mark Anthony. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Susan. I really appreciate you having me on. I've been looking forward to this. And you know, you brought up a very interesting point, which I know we're going to talk about a lot, about relationships. Mm-hmm. Because normally when we think about relationships, we think of them in the material world, in our relationships with, you know, with our spouse, with parents, siblings, friends. And one of the things that I help people understand, or try to help people understand, is that when someone we love dies, our relationship does not disintegrate. Mm-hmm. And the objective of the journey through grief is to accept the reality of the passing, and through that acceptance, find inner peace with that person's death. But it's much more complicated than that. It's also learning that our relationship with someone transforms from one of a physical nature to one of a spiritual nature. Mm-hmm. That's where somebody like me, a medium, can come in to help facilitate communication between people here and their loved ones in spirit. And that's also with grief. I've come across a lot of people who are still clinging to the physicality. For example, maybe somebody has died. They don't do anything with their clothes. They leave that person's room intact. They act as if that person is still physically alive. And I do understand this, and I understand why people do that, but you're also miring. It's like you're getting stuck in the tar pit, and you're stuck in this tar pit, and it's miserable, and it's awful, and it's painful, and you have not accepted that this person is no longer living in the material world. And it's when you make that leap from the physical to understanding that your relationship is now of a spiritual nature and that you can be in contact with them, you're not going to progress.
Fantastic. Wow. So one of the cool things about having you on the show today is I was in receivership, I'll say, of your skill set and your talent. I set an appointment with you. You did a reading for me. And what was near and dear to my heart at that time, after I had given some space, was the passing of my father to COVID. And I will say it was a fantastic session with you. I know you do thousands of them, whether, you know, I don't expect you to recall the details, but I will say we laughed a lot. He was in his rare form, his jokes, his comments. I mean, they were so dad. But one of the things so the grief thing I really wanted to talk about today, and because I noticed when I was going through your website and looking at things, you know, this is an area that you really help a lot of people. When my dad became sick with COVID and I went to the house, there was a series of events that occurred with us, like this perfect weird storm. I mean, my mom is still alive. And I walked into this home of 40 years and there were so many things. And then as circumstances would have it, the bathroom flooded as he was in the hospital on a ventilator. And my mom has early stages of dementia. So I'm gutting this house because I'm having to get it ready for a construction project. And as I'm gutting it, everything I'm touching is his and or hers, right? And so so for me, how I look at things is, you know, everything is energy. And so I'm literally engulfed in his energy. And as I'm doing this, I'm well aware that the odds of him physically surviving this are slim. And as, you know, as everything transpired and everything went all the way through afterwards, as I reflect, you know, this house was literally almost set up for her after his passing, because really memory-wise, the only thing she wouldn't let me get rid of was his clothes. And so they were in the closet with the doors shut. But I had this book I had read, and it was titled Death. And ironically, it's never ironic, I was reading that book when all this happened. And so I did take it with me because it was in Nebraska, and I took it with me. And I was reading it, and the author in there, Yogi or somebody, I can't remember his name right now. I couldn't pronounce it even if I could remember it. But he talked about that. He talked about more or less getting rid of those items to move on. And it's the same thing that you're elaborating on right now, is how important it is for that process. But then the other thing is embracing the other side, embracing that you can now communicate with them. Do you think that is a easy thing for most folks? Like, do they have it intuitively within them to know that the other presence is around? Or do you think sometimes, or they have that, but they're blocking it from the grief, the depression, the sadness?
That is an extremely good and very complex question, because the truth of the matter is that when you die, you take you with you. Okay, people don't cease to exist. And indulge me, if you will, for a moment. My book, The Afterlife Frequency, the subtitle is The Scientific Proof of Spiritual Contact and How That Awareness Will Change Your Life. And it differs from other books written by mediums because it's based on science. It's been endorsed by the top in near-death experience and afterlife research scientists in the world. And I take a different approach. And, you know, prior to going on air, we were talking about astronauts in space. Yeah. And the thing is, my father was a NASA engineer. He had also been a Navy SEAL. And my mother was a commercial illustrator and an artist. And both my parents had mediumistic abilities. This is a genetic trait that runs in my family. And I remember when I was 8 years old and I was looking at the stars with my dad. And we, you know, I was always, why? I was always talking about asking him all types of questions. And he said, Mark, there's an explanation for everything. And if you put enough research, enough funding, enough focus and dedication into studying something, you will come up with the answer. And it will be based on science. He said, maybe we don't have the technology for it just yet, but we're going to develop it. And that applies as well to spirit communication. It's not hocus pocus. It's not magic. Yes, there are frauds in the field, and I've seen them. But there are legitimate mediums like myself and a number of my colleagues where we are able to energetically adjust our brainwave frequency to tune into the afterlife frequency of the other side. I know that we're coming up on a break, so I guess we can continue this when we get back.
Yeah, we can. How many minutes we got left here? It's probably a couple. So, because I'm gonna keep going here a little bit because, I got some time.
Okay.
So this morning, as I was doing my meditation, this popped in my head. And by the way, love the book, read it 2 times. I completely inhaled it. I thought it was fantastic. A lot of great stuff in there. I love the areas that you go into with the quantum physics, which I'm sure we're going to talk about, biophotons. I mean, all that great stuff, because we are at an exciting time right now where I think the awareness of where we're going and where this energy is and the communication. I mean, it's coming full circle, and it's really an exciting time. But what was coming to me this morning was the alpha waves and the beta is, what is it? You're going to have to help me here, 'cause I got an alpha down.
Yeah, we have 5 different types of brainwave frequencies. Yeah. Gamma, alpha, beta, gamma, beta, alpha, theta, and delta. Gamma is super high functioning. That's like, you know, you're Amy Schneider or Matt Amodio on Jeopardy. That's when your brain's running full throttle. Beta is the state we're in now. We're able to, conduct the activities of daily living. Alpha, I call that the groovy baby state, because that's either meditation or you start drifting off. Theta is deep and dreamful sleep. And then delta is very little brainwave activity, but that's when your body heals itself and generates cellular growth. And that's in a deep sleep state. It is on the alpha theta border where psychic and spiritual activity occur. And so when we get back from the break, we can revisit that.
Yeah, great. 'Cause I've got some questions around that. All right. So everyone, we will be back here shortly. More to come, more exciting conversation, more questions. Be back.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Claire, Clare-ITY.com.
One day, I arrived early to meet a friend for lunch. One of the wait staff welcomed me with a beautiful smile. It was everyday magic. We experience this kind of thing all the time, but it was magical because the smile made me feel happy and content. The Sanskrit word for smile is smitam. It means fully blossomed, fully bloomed, and expanded, like an empty field suddenly full of spring flowers. In the same way, a bright smile given freely changes everything. It can warm the heart. It can reassure or inspire or uplift. It can bring joy or lift a burden. Try it for yourself. Smitam, a smile, and discover a little everyday magic. Join me, Sarah Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover everyday uplifting magic together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. I am Susan Denae. We've got special guest on the show today, Mark Anthony. We are talking about everything fun and exciting about communicating with the other side. Where we left off before we went to break was about the different brain waves. Where's the connection? Where's that sweet spot to feel the energy maybe to make that connection with the other side? So Mark, I'm really excited to dive into this topic with you because I have like a question. I have a question. And the question is, in the amateur phase of am I connecting or not, right? You'll hear people describe it as goosebumps, or at least I have. They'll describe it as goosebumps. And so story for me, and then, because this will be a nice little intro into where we go with this. In about 2018, as much as meditation had been part of my life, I hadn't really dedicated a practice to it. And I started doing that. And a lot of stuff came out of that. But one of the things that I noticed with an increased dedication to meditation was I started getting a lot of vibrational hits, and they would come at different times. And this is where I'm going with the brain waves, because the very first one I remember, I was on a motorcycle ride with my husband. We were over in Eastern Washington. The sun was shining. It was a beautiful day out. I was on my Multistrada. It's like a Cadillac motorcycle, and it was new for me. It wasn't a sport bike, and I was just like, just enjoying, right? The heat's blowing through. I mean, it's just beautiful. I was listening because I listened to either music or a talk show, and I happened to be listening to Esther Hicks that day with Abraham. So I'm listening, and this woman's in there, and all of a sudden, I had this amazing like vibration come through, and it was just the whole body tingled. And I knew, but I wasn't connecting that. And this was, a couple questions here. But what I was thinking was, that's inner source is where I was at. And it just stayed there. It was one of the longest ones I ever had. And it was in this state of joy.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to ask you about, and so that's my little segue into getting into the brain waves and when we experience those.
Yeah. The five different brain waves, gamma, beta, alpha, theta, delta, and the alpha theta border. And we've heard throughout the years going into the alpha state, the meditative state. It's when you daydream, you're in alpha, and from alpha you slip into sleep, which is theta. And the alpha theta border is where psychic and mediumistic activity occurs, because spirits are able to see that your brainwave is in that frequency, and they align their frequency to it. You get a frequency match. Also, the alpha state feels good. And so that's why you're saying you felt joy, because it's a relaxed state. And when you're connecting with spirits, you will often get cold chills and tingles. Now, see, this is why a lot of people think that spirit communication is evil and scary. They say, I walked into this place and I felt cold chills and tingles. Well, that's the same physiological response of flight or fight. Because when you get scared, you get, what it is, your nervous system's cranking up on full gear and electrical activity is going off the charts, and you get cold chills and tingles. Well, that's the same sensation when spirits are communicating with you. And so therefore, people jump to the conclusion, and cold chills and tingles, this is fear, this is therefore bad. Plus, we fear what we do not understand. And that's why spirit communication has gotten, that's one of the reasons why spirit communication has gotten a bad rap. But when you start working with this, as you have, you realize, okay, cold chills and tingles, electromagnetic activity. In my book, The Afterlife Frequency, I introduced the term the electromagnetic soul, because this combines faith and science. Every great spiritual teacher, from the sages of ancient India through Zoroaster, through Moses, Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, Lao Tzu, Yogananda Paramahansa, Gandhi, a Native American spiritualist, and people who've had near-death experiences, anybody that works in with an intense spiritual connections, all describe God in terms of light. And light is the only form of electromagnetic energy visible to the human eye. Now, why am I saying all this? Mm-hmm. Well, we know that everything is composed of molecules. Okay, we all had to learn that in science class. And molecules, in turn, are composed of atoms. Atoms are composed of electrons, protons, and neutrons, which in turn are composed of a smaller particle, quantum. And that's where the word quantum physics comes from. You know, and in the new age and metaphysical field, people like to fling, oh, quantum. But when, we all do this because it's a cool word, it's quantum. Cool. You know? Oh, man, I'm like having a totally quantum day. All right. But understanding it in the scientific sense is that on the subatomic level, and for the physics people watching, yes, electrons are technically a quantum because an electron is 1/1800th the size of a proton. There, I said it. Okay. So we're at the quantum level. Everything is pure electromagnetic energy. So what does that mean, Susan? That means your electromagnetic energy. Mm-hmm. So is this computer mouse that I have. So are the radio waves that this show is being broadcast on. And when you start thinking about that, it's like, wow, everything at the subatomic level is composed of the same building block. And that's why in the subatomic level, there's no difference between physics and biology. They've always, put into separate categories, but on the subatomic level, there is no distinction. And that's why I came up with the term the electromagnetic soul, because the spirit, the who and what we are, every great spiritual teacher not only refers to God in terms of light, but as the soul, the who and what we are, our consciousness in the realm of psychology and science, pre-exists the body, comes into the body, moves on after the body dies. We know from the laws of thermodynamics and physics that energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. So when this body ceases to function, the brain, which does not create your soul, your consciousness, instead think of your brain as a computer hard drive that merely hosts this energy. That's what dies, and that energy remains coherent. It's like a drop of water that then plunges into the eternal sea of souls, the collective consciousness. So the term electromagnetic soul describes what we really are, which is pure consciousness, which is eternal electromagnetic energy. So that's the technical explanation for we don't die. All right, so when our body ceases to function, then our EMS, our electromagnetic soul, is now vibrating on a higher frequency because everything has a vibration. That's why, this pen isn't sentient and isn't talking to me, for lack of a better term, because its vibration is on a different vibration than your body and my body is, okay? And the thing is, I don't want people being freaked out when they hear my book is loaded with quantum physics. I explain it in a way anybody can understand it, because when people hear quantum physics, no,
I think you do a fantastic job in the book with what, like even the water drop analogy that you just gave. I mean, the book is full of that. And the reason why I think that is so important, because someone like myself, when I'm reading the book, I comprehend exactly. So you take this scientific approach, you take, the education, obviously, and the knowledge that you have, which is so transparent when you share, and you make it, you give these examples like the water drop. And so for someone like me who's sitting down reading this, I immediately comprehend it. Like, yeah. I totally get it. When you used the water drop analogy, I could just see it. And it was just a visual. And so it was like, yeah, we return to the greater collective consciousness. So here's a question that's on my mind. So when we have those, and this is probably my own, like I'm sorting this stuff out right now. So when I have a connection like that, or anybody has a connection like that, where they're having the chills, that they're aware that that's what's going on, like there's a connection being made. What I had always, up until this conversation really, and up until I read your book, and this is why it's a question of mine, I had always said it felt like I was connecting with my inner source, my own guidance system, like the piece of me that was the higher consciousness. However, after listening to you, reading the book, is everything, when you're in that state and you're having that experience, is that spirits trying to reach you, or is that a connect, or is it all the same stuff? Do you see where I'm going with this? Because anything I've always experienced is like joy and all of that. And I'm an amateur. So I haven't gone to the extent of, you know, am I getting a heads up about something? Does that make sense?
Yes. Well, the thing is, there's a difference between a psychic experience and a mediumistic experience, but they all are about tuning into frequency. And what a psychic experience is tuning into the energy of a person, place, or thing. That's why, I've consulted with law enforcement in cold cases, and I'll go to a place or that type, and I can pick up vibrational energy echoes from what may have happened in that area. Or if you're doing a psychic reading on somebody, you're picking up on that person's vibration, and you may pick up on medical conditions or future events, that type of thing. And when you're communicating with spirits, you're tuning into a higher frequency, which is the other side, what I call the afterlife frequency. And I was trying to figure out, how do I explain this to people? So I was here in my office and I was working on it. And Susan, you know, you're a writer. And writer's block. All right. And doesn't writer's block always seem to happen on the day that you've cleared the whole day just to work? I've got the whole day, no distractions. And I'm sitting here like, nada, nothing, zero. And it's like, And so I thought, all right, let me go clear my head. I'm going to go for a walk on the beach. So I live near the ocean and I'm heading down my driveway. And all of a sudden I get the cold chills and tingles. Well, okay, I live in Florida. It was like 95 degrees outside, so I knew it wasn't the weather. And but I also been doing this long enough to know that, okay, something's going on here. And I felt directed away from the beach toward a bike path near my house. So I'm walking along this bike path. It's around 11 in the morning, and I see these two objects shining in the light. And I walk up to them, and it's a nickel and a penny. And I bend over because, I'm going to pick them up. And I hear my mother and my mother and father in spirit. And I hear my mom say, if their head's down, it's bad luck. And I'm laughing because my mother's family was of Italian descent. And Italians have a superstition for all occasions. God forbid you break a mirror. Oh, my God, a black cat. Don't walk under that ladder. You know what I mean? It's funny. And then I hear my dad's voice. The waspy Pennsylvanian, it's money, grab it. And I'm laughing. So here I am, Susan, standing there, and I got this nickel and this penny. I go, 6 cents. And all of a sudden I go, 6 cents. I go, okay, mom and dad, what are you trying to tell me? Cold chills and tingles envelop me like they are right now, just telling this. And in my mind's eye, I saw a vision of my dad standing in the ocean up to his waist. And my dad, Navy SEAL, he was a scuba diver, a swimming instructor, and he's holding this blue canvas raft. It was this old blue canvas raft, and it had like these yellow plastic, or rubber, edges to it. And I remember that when I was a kid, because we used to go, riding waves on it, and we had a lot of fun. And all of a sudden I hear my parents in unison say, teach people how to recognize signs from spirits, accept it as real, feel it without fear, trust the message. And I go, raft, R-A-F-T, ran back to the computer, writer's block on, words start flowing out. And then I realized that, I was struggling trying to figure out how to explain this. Well, our loved ones in spirit are capable of always listening, and they answered. And the best part about this, Susan, is they walked me through the whole process. It wasn't just I received a vision. Okay, so I feel that I need to go for a walk, but then I get directed somewhere else. I see these two coins. So I felt the chills. I recognized the signs from the spirits. When I picked up the coins, I heard their voices. So I accepted it as real. It's the third step. And I think you touched on this earlier. Mm-hmm. Feel without overthinking. This is where people go wrong. That's where you hit the brick wall. Yeah. Oh, it's a coincidence. It's my imagination. I just wanted it to happen. Oh, that can't be. I'm a skeptic. Okay, yeah. No, a skeptic is open-minded. A cynic closes their mind. Okay. And so when you get past, when you work to get rid of the overthinking and hyperanalyzing, you feel it and then you trust the message. And the RAF technique applies not just to experiences like this, but to all the forms of spirit communication. Perhaps you're in close proximity to a loved one who is dying, and that person may be talking about seeing deceased loved ones. Mm-hmm. Maybe you pick up on them too. This is a very, very highly reported phenomenon. The person dying is having a deathbed vision. People in close proximity who are not in imminent danger of dying are also experiencing what the dying person is. That's why it's called a shared death experience. So I explain all this. What if you have a near-death experience where you die and your consciousness leaves your body, your electromagnetic soul leaves your body and then comes back? So the RAF technique can be used, Susan, to understand all of the different forms of spiritual contact. And so that was the T part, the trusting the message for me. Yeah. I realized, and this is very typical with messages from spirits, sometimes, maybe a single message, but more often than not, the message has multiple levels of significance. And it can take hours, days, weeks, even longer to understand the full meaning of messages transmitted by spirits. And so that's one of the teaching components of the afterlife frequency. And in the book, not only do I explain the RAF technique, but I also give exercises, how to help develop it, and I give examples that anyone can relate to. Because the truth is that there's nothing alien or sinister about spirit communication. Everything is energy. Our loved ones have simply quantum leaped to another dimension, but from that dimension, they're able to communicate with us. And spirit communication is truly a gift from God, a gift from the divine to help us understand that the divine power that some call God exists, that heaven, the afterlife exists, that our soul, our electromagnetic soul is an immortal living being, that we can communicate with these souls and that we will be reunited with them when it is our appointed time to leave this material world. This is very, very important for people to understand. And this has been the crux of my life's work, is to help people understand this.
I think it's very interesting to me why when you say people, they close the door or they become analytical or that, they close it off. And sometimes, and I wonder how much of that has to do with the influence of our environment, what we've been, told or said, or who we chose to listen to, really, who we chose to be influenced by. Like for me growing up, there were stories about when, grandma died and the clock fell off the wall exactly at 3 a.m. when grandma died. Right. And my mom was always telling these stories. And then my mom, very intuitive woman. And so my sister and I, as much as it wasn't a practice in the house, but we grew up with this understanding that, you can have communication, but it wasn't really talked about. And most people have had those type of stories. Maybe they call it a ghost story. Maybe they call it a weird occurrence. So I find it interesting. Like for me, I love it when it happens. I play with it. I'm in a phase in my life right now where I have this fantastic story. I think it's fantastic anyway. I'm going to tell it. That's what I get to do. So I work from home now. And one day I start getting this thought, you should go to the thrift store. And I'm like, I don't, you know, I'm thinking, do I have anything to give away? Or, but it was like this, because I'm going to have you elaborate on the different signs that people can, and you go through this in the book, but a few of the different experiences people will have, you know, we've talked about the chills. And so this for me that day was almost like a knowing, not quite sure what I'm doing or why I'm doing it. And I didn't even go that day. I waited 2 days. And so finally it just kept coming. Go to the thrift store. Well, I had had some plans that on the upcoming weekend to take my kids downtown to an expo, an art exhibit. So I go into this thrift store, this danky little store. And in one side of the building is all, old appliances and glassware, you know, all that good stuff. And I'm walking through, but I'm literally telling myself, why, you're here for a reason. Like there's some reason you're here. So I look up and I see this little mini food processor and I, you know, it's going to help me. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to buy that because it's only $5, but that's not why I'm here. Like I knew it, like, that's not why I'm here. So I'm going through this thrift store and I'm just kind of, and I'm having this moment, like if anybody saw me doing this or was having a conversation with me right now, they'd probably be, you know, I don't know what they would think, but I'm going around and all of a sudden my eyes catch the pictures and I walk over to the pictures and I'm drawn to this picture. And it's like an outdoor cafe setting. And it reminds me of somewhere like in a French quarter. And it's colorful and it's beautiful. And it reminds me of a picture I have at home. And I'm just staring at it. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is kind of, for whatever reason, this is attracting me. And it's got this fantastic frame job on it. Like somebody paid some money to have this thing framed. And it's sitting in this thrift store. So I look at the price. It's like $15.99. I'm like, well, I don't want to pay $15 for this. I don't like the frame. Like it's professionally done, but I don't like the color. So I don't want to pay $15. Right. So, but I'm like, whatever, we'll see. So I go up to the register. Some teenagers work in the counter. I'm like, hey, you want to give me a deal on the $15 picture? She's like, sure. I think she gives me like $10 or something. So I go home. I set it up again, you know, thing. My husband comes home. I'm like, oh, I got this picture, you know, and he's like, yep, another picture. I've had this thing with pictures. And I go about my day. Well, we go downtown for the expo, the art exhibit, and we walk in. It's a Van Gogh exhibit. And as we're sitting there looking at these beautiful, and it's this, I can't remember what they call it, but it's a light show. It's really fantastic. And we're walking through, and my husband's watching one where they're doing like a flash of pictures of paintings he'd done. And lo and behold, there it was. It was the print that I had just bought at the thrift store 2 days before that. And I looked at him and I go, oh my God, that's the picture. And he goes, what? I go, that's the picture in our living room. And it all came together. It was a Van Gogh print. And somebody had paid money to have this beautiful picture framed appropriately. You know what I mean? And right. But it was like this confirmation. And so where I'm going with this is the synchronicity and the happenings of things, because you also share about that in the book. And you know, and probably everything's a synchronicity, right? So right. But it was just once again that knowledge of like, oh, that's really cool. That's fun. I love synchronicities. I love seeing how everything matches up. And, you know, if it's a sign from the universe, if it's a sign from the spirits, and this is where I kind of want to get your input on this. Is it just I'm on the right path, or is it just the way energy works?
All the above. Because yeah. You're on the right path and that's the way energy works. And synchronicity is, you know, people say, oh, that's just a coincidence. It's like, let's say you're thinking about somebody that you haven't talked to in maybe a couple of years, and all of a sudden your phone rings and you look at it and it's like, oh my gosh, that's this person. Well, that's not a coincidence. That person was thinking of you, or you were thinking of him or her, and you're sending those electromagnetic impulses out. They pick up on it and they contact you. I mean, my book is filled with stories of synchronicities, how people can be, quote unquote, in the right place at the right time or in the wrong place at the wrong time. And what's also interesting is when you have these messages from spirits, it's not always immediately apparent what it means. I always say that look at a spiritual experience like a flower. Blooms, blossoms, unfolds. Mm-hmm. This can take hours, weeks, even longer for the full meaning of a spiritual message to make sense to you. And I was doing a reading for this gentleman recently. It was a telephone reading, and his father's spirit came through, and he and his wife were on the call. And I kept seeing an image of two snakes. okay, now most people aren't thrilled with snakes, but I'm thinking, all right, my interpretation is maybe these folks had a snake story, or maybe because there was two snakes, maybe it was, you know, the caduceus, the medical symbol with the two snakes mm-hmm. on it. So I'm explaining that. And he goes, I understand that. He goes, I tend to think it's Native American. And I said, well, you know how some psychics, everything's Native American. And I said, well, I just don't fling out Native American stuff. He said, yeah, but Mark, my father was 100% full-blooded Sioux, you know, Sioux Nation. He said, but I never met my father. He died when I was a baby. He said, so, but I don't really know what it means, but that's my feeling. So also with the RAF technique, yes, I'm the medium. I'm transmitting the message to the person, and he recognized, accepted, felt, and trusted that it had something to do with Native American symbology. Well, I said, okay, just make a note of this. Let's move on. The next day, I receive an email from him. He and his wife found a book, and they took a picture of the page out of the book. In the Sioux language, Sioux means two snakes.
Wow.
Now, I did not know this. He did not know this. And he was so excited because, you know, he said, wow, this is such a great connection from my father. And I love it when spirits will give us something that we don't understand. Another example of spiritual synchronicity happened to me just the other day. I was doing a reading for this woman. She was a scientist. So she was hung up on the third part. She was not feeling. She was overthinking everything. Okay, and this is a good example of the RAF technique. Recognize, accept, boom, feel. That's what people repeat it. So during this, her father's spirit comes through, and I get the word spelunking. All right, spelunking. That, you know, going in case. I mean, Susan, how many times in the last year have you used the word spelunking?
Just today.
Yeah, just exactly. You know, and she goes, well, that doesn't make any sense. I go, well, come on. I just don't fling out a word like spelunking, hoping to get a hit. Are you sure? Well, I don't think this is it. But last night I was having dinner with some friends of mine, and we were actually talking about spelunking because they're going on a spelunking trip. And I was telling them that they're going to the same cave that my father took me to when I was a little girl and we went spelunking. And I go, and your father is giving this to me and you're not seeing the connection here? Oh. And then she goes, wow. She goes, I'm really overanalyzing this, aren't I? I go, all right, so let me tell you what this means. This means that your father is around you and aware of what's happening mm-hmm. with you. Ergo, last night when you were talking with your friends about spelunking, this drew him to you. Also, this is a multiple meaning message because it also related to a very happy memory of when you were a little girl and your dad took you spelunking in this very same cave that your friends are going to. So this is a shared memory. This is your dad's spirit is around you. He's aware of what's happening. And all of these are objectively verifiable facts. Ergo, not a coincidence.
Yeah.
And he said, okay. And the thing is, and I'm not faulting her. Look, in her job as a scientist, being hyper analytical and overthinking things is good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm an attorney. So I know all about overthinking things. You got to look at a situation, think of all the possibilities. But in spirit communication, you must feel, not overthink. So if I get spelunking and it's like last night you were having dinner with your friends talking about spelunking, go with that. Don't sit there and overthink and hyperanalyze it away. Yeah. And that's why some people come, well, I never get anything. And it's like, well, yeah, because your deflector shields are up.
Let's get those shields are up.
Barriers down.
So I'm just going to share this with you real quick. And I think, I don't know if we're still going to make the break or not. We may have, I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it. So I'll just tell you the story. So I work out every day and, you know, the playlist gets a little boring sometimes. So I got like, you know, 300 songs on my liked songs. That's about as sophisticated as I get. And today I'm listening to some I listen to anything from Janis Joplin to blues to classical. So this morning, however, was Metallica. And I thought that was kind of interesting based on us. I thought, I don't know why Metallica is coming to mind. The album cover. This is why I'm telling the story. The album cover is the first time I've ever noticed it. I've had this song on my playlist forever. And I looked down and it's kind of black. And you know what it has in the corner? And I thought that almost would be kind of a cool tattoo. But what was really cool is it was two snakes. And they were all wound up. And then that's why I'm sharing this story with you. It just happened this morning. And I stared at that and I thought, I have never noticed this album cover before. And as the song's blaring and it's two beautiful snakes. And I'm not a snake person. It used to be a phobia. But I was like in awe of it. And so that's how this works. And so if you're watching this show, okay, you hearing it? So you turn around and are inspired to tell a story
about two snakes.
About two snakes.
And this very morning, you see a Metallica album cover with two snakes on it. And what's interesting in all the stories that both the stories I told, it was the spirit of a father who came through, and it is your father who is in spirit, who passed recently from COVID. He's also talking about you and dandelions and the dandelions. Is there something about you and dandelions which would make sense?
I just noticed a beautiful array of dandelions the last few days. I've been thinking about dandelions. There's a story I was telling my daughter that's a joke in our family. I never knew that dandelions were white and fuzzy, and then they grew into a yellow thing until years ago, and my family gives me a hard time about it. Then I noticed this beautiful field the other day. So dandelions have been all around me.
Perfect. All right. For everybody, Susan and I, you're in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in Florida. We did not talk about dandelions. For the reading, swear to God, under oath. And the thing is, oh my God, this is so wonderful because we are sitting here explaining about spiritual contact and how spirits are part of our daily life. All right. So the two snakes arced over to an experience that Susan had this morning, indicating her father's spirit is around and aware of what's happening. Then he comes through to me and fills my head full of images of dandelions, which Susan just explained the significance. So now, wow.
Susan, isn't that cool?
We couldn't have planned this better.
Isn't that cool? I had a total hit when you said my dad was here. I got the vibration. I feel him. Yeah.
But see, this is spiritual synchronicity.
Yeah, totally cool.
You can't plan, you can't make these things happen. And this is how spirits can pop into our lives. Now, you know, Susan recognized, accepted, felt, and trusted. Yeah. So now for the benefit of all the viewers, all the listeners, you just saw Raft in action. And the thing about Raft is you don't have to be a psychic or a medium to get these sensations because we all have the same basic physiology. There's a physical reason how and why we're able to connect. Some people are better at it than others. It's like some people are better swimmers, some people are better mathematicians, some people are better musicians. We're all different, good at different things, but everybody is capable of sloshing around in a pool, doing some math, maybe banging on a piano and maybe getting the tune out. The thing is, it's the same with spirit communication.
Yeah.
We can all engage in spirit communication and receive messages from it. And so Susan's dad popped in to let her know that, the white fuzzy with that is your dad explaining that when the dandelion dies, part of it goes on. And so when you're explaining that to your little your daughter, that is part of what she needs to understand, that life is an eternal cycle. Wow.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
It's way cool.
Yeah. And I will share with you, years ago, there was a clarity, a practice I would do where I would vision laying in a field of the white fuzzies, dandelions. And as they let go into the air in my meditation practice, I would see that as me turning over all my problems to God and letting everything go, you know? So just full circle there. Yeah. It's fantastic, fantastic conversation with you. God, so many things are coming through, but I had saw, what was I going to say? It just left me. Developing this, you were on a show I was watching on your website. Fantastic YouTube videos of all some interviews you've done, by the way. I had to walk away yesterday, or I would have sat there for hours. But the one they're talking about, you were making the point that you were just elaborating on, you know, you can play a piano, you can do math equations. And I love the fact that I think they were asking you, come into the courtroom? And you, I loved it because you just said, well, it's a skill set. And right. I thought that was such a cool way to put it, because it's a skill set. And so even as I was explaining to you, in 2018, I started meditating and this thing started happening, but there was an intention and a desire. It wasn't necessarily to connect at that point, but as that continued to happen for me, I just love it. I like playing with it. It's really fun. It's really fun. And so it's a skill set, though, that anybody can help enhance in their life. And have this, as I like to say, it's fun. I enjoy it. It's a pleasure when it's happening. And I can usually tell for me if I've been too here, realistic about everything, because I will go days before I have that. And when I am in alignment, or I am in connection with the universe, or how I like to put it, I get those hits. And it's a great barometer for how I'm doing. Yeah,
absolutely. And this is, once again, once you start working with the RAF technique, it becomes second nature, and you'll start to realize, signs from spirits. Also, they can intervene to direct you away from potential danger. I've got plenty of stories about that in the book, The Afterlife Frequency. And I was doing an event, couple of years back. It was in person, and there was this young lady there with her mother, and her grandfather said, don't go to the concert. And the girl looks at me, and her mother looks at her, and she goes, oh, but I'm supposed to go to this concert next week. And I said, well, he said, don't go to the concert, that something's going to happen to the car. All right. A year later, I'm doing another public event, and this woman and her daughter, and they said, do you remember you said about this car and not to go to the concert? And I go, yeah, I recall that. She said, well, I got so freaked out, I decided not to go to the concert. You know, she's a teenager, and she called her friends and told her the psychic said that something's going to happen to the car. So the girls were, that did go, they said they were so panicked that they were going really slow, and they were driving up I-95 on Florida to Daytona Beach. And all of a sudden, they ran over something, and all four tires blew out in their car. Yes. And the state trooper and all that, they came, and the trooper and the tow truck guy said, if you girls weren't going 50 miles an hour, if you're going 75 or 80, you would have flipped and probably died.
Wow.
And there it is. Like, this was a year later that I'm hearing this, because a lot of times I don't know what the message means. I am just conveying it.
Yeah,
because that is, when I make a connection for someone, it's not about me. It's about the person who is receiving the message. And if people want to find out more about my book, I invite all of you to sign up for the newsletter. Please visit my website, afterlifefrequency.com. I've got some great spirit communication events coming up online this month. And certainly you'll find out about upcoming shows like The Psychic and the Doc and Know You're Crazy on the Transformation Network. So I invite all of you to visit my website, afterlifefrequency.com. Susan, thank you so much for having me as your guest. I had a great time.
Thank you
to your dad for coming through for us.
I know. Yeah, folks. So thanks for joining us, Mark. Thanks for wrapping that up. We were running short on time. We could talk all day long, probably. But check out the book, Afterlife Frequency. I read it twice. It's fantastic. Highly recommend it. And everyone, have a blessed day.
You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
And my name is Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDene.com. That's Susan Dene, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.